Advent is a Latin word, and it means coming. And it's the Latin translation of a Greek word, parousia. And parousia means arrival. But it's not just any arrival. It is specifically the arrival of a king or an emperor. So the 4 weeks before Christmas, we celebrate the royal arrival of Jesus, our Lord and King. And it's not just about his first arrival, but it's about his second coming as well. And Advent is a season of hope. Each week in Advent has a theme, and it goes hope, peace, joy, and love. And the first week is hope, and we light the hope candle on the Advent wreath. And next week, we'll light the hope candle and then the peace candle. And then we'll do hope and peace and joy. And then hope, peace, joy, love. And then on Christmas, we light the Christ candle. Now, I find it much easier to celebrate Jesus' first coming. His birth, his life on earth, his death and resurrection, the salvation we have because of it. Like, all of that I get. That is easy for us to celebrate because we do it every Christmas and Easter. But celebrating the second coming of Christ, I find it a little bit harder to grasp. And part of the reason is because it's a future event. And personally, I am not good at thinking about the future. I always hate those interview questions, you know what I mean? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, thanks for the nightmare. I don't even know what's for dinner tonight. Don't ask me about 5 years. And if you'd asked me 5 years ago, preaching would not have been a thing that would have been on my list. Back in July, I got into an argument with a life insurance salesman. And that's how bad I am at talking about the future. Because by the end, I was a wreck. And he was like, Mrs. Jones, I'm just trying to give you peace of mind. And I'm like, no, you're trying to get me excited about dying before I'm 60 so my family can win the death lottery. Get out. He said, but this is my office. I said, good day, sir. There's a little hyperbole in that. But celebrating a future event, it's not totally foreign, right? I am female. I have been to many wedding and baby showers in my life. We can celebrate a future event. Still, I think it's easier to celebrate and talk about Jesus' first coming because it's already happened. It's history to us. And I will never tell you that it's easy to have faith. But I do find it easier to have faith in something that's already happened. And talking of the future, you need faith and hope. And Advent is a season of hope. And when I say hope, I'm not talking about wishful thinking, you know. I'm not talking about like, oh, I hope our team wins the game. Roll Tide. You know, oh, I hope it's a girl. I hope it's a boy. I hope it's a baby. But I'm talking about biblical hope, the confident expectation that God fulfills his promises. Hope is a future faith rooted in God's promise. So celebrating the second coming of Christ requires faith and hope. And another reason why I hesitate to think about the second coming, much less celebrate it, is all of the weird theology out there. I said weird, but I mean bad. Let's just be brave. The scripture itself is mysterious enough without other people coming along and putting their spin on it. They take Jesus' words and they make their own theology rooted in fear. believe like us and act like us, or God is going to leave you behind. I mean, that doesn't sound like Jesus wants a personal relationship, does it? So if you have a theology based on fear, I would reconsider. And I would read more scripture. Jesus is perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. And some theologies make the second coming about a way for Christians to escape this world. So sure, let's make Jesus' second coming all about us. What could go wrong? But they make it a way to escape. They make it a way for Christians to separate themselves from the rest of mankind, as though God has picked out his favorite people to whisk away from this world, as if God is only rooting for part of humanity and not for his whole creation. So if your theology of the second coming is all about you getting to escape because you're in the Jesus Club, I would reconsider. And I'd start with making it all about Jesus. And I'd read less fiction. Maybe read more scripture. Start with the Sermon on the Mount. You can't go wrong. So speaking of scripture, let's get to our text. It's from Luke 21. And it's Jesus talking to his disciples about his second coming. And at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus and his disciples, they're in Jerusalem, and it's getting close to the time for Jesus to be arrested and crucified. And as they're walking around, the disciples are marveling at the temple. And one of them says, "What wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus says in verse 6, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." And Jesus goes on to prophesy about the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem. And what Jesus describes is brutal. He tells them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famine and pestilence." And he tells them their friends and family will turn on them, and some of them will be put to death. And he goes on in verse 20 to warn them, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then everyone who can should flee. Run to the mountains. Don't go home first to get your things. Just run. Because so many are going to die by the sword, and the ones who aren't slaughtered will be made into slaves." And Jesus was right, of course. In 70 AD, Jerusalem fell to the Romans. And if you read historic accounts of the siege, you will find that Jesus did not exaggerate the brutality. Over 1 million civilians were killed, and somewhere close to 100,000 were enslaved. And there had been Jews from all over the world who had come there for the Passover feast. And historians describe a river of blood coming out of the temple and down its stairs. So Jesus prophesies this destruction. And then he tells them about his second coming. In verse 25, Jesus says, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." And finally, the hope. Jesus says, when this takes place, redemption is drawing near. The second coming of Jesus is about redemption, not condemnation. Everything about Jesus is about redemption. During Advent, we celebrate the first arrival of Jesus Christ as a human infant. And is there anything more vulnerable? And while on this earth, he didn't just die for our sins, but while he was here, he showed us how to be human. He showed us how to do life while we are here in our temporary lives on this temporary earth. And we have no problem bragging about the things Jesus did. But we have a big problem with ignoring the things Jesus commanded us to do. How often do we try loving God with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength? And how often do we love and pray for our enemies or even our neighbors? And how often do we help orphans and widows, or the least of these, as Jesus calls them? You can call them what you like, the poor, homeless, refugee. And how often do we go and make disciples? Loving other people is hard, and having real relationships is hard. And so what? That is no excuse. So how dare we use Jesus as a mechanism for our salvation and then ignore the things he commanded us to do? And then we're going to take the second coming of Jesus and make it about us. We're going to act like he's coming back to rescue us from the misery of being on a planet with other people we don't like. Or we're going to entertain bad theology that sows fear, that says Jesus is on his throne, seething in anger and fury, just waiting for the day he can come down and cancel the earth. No. We're going to make the second coming about Jesus. What he's telling the disciples, and that's us too, by the way, is that when he comes back, he's not coming back as a vulnerable infant. But this time, he's coming in his power and glory. He's coming back because he wants to. It's part of his plan. He tells them about it before he's even left the first time. And he tells us, when we see these things, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is near. He paid for us. And now he's redeeming his purchase. And he has no buyer's remorse. Everything about Jesus is about redemption and not condemnation. Now, I'm not saying that there's no final judgment. There is. Jesus told them about that too. It's in Matthew 26. But do you remember what he said about it? He separates the sheep and the goats, the righteous and the unrighteous. And you will notice it is Jesus doing the separating, not us. And does he separate the righteous and the unrighteous by saying, and these are the righteous. They believed in me the best. They worshiped me the hardest. They have the biggest churches. No. He tells the righteous that he was hungry and they fed him. He was thirsty and they gave him something to drink. He needed clothes, so they gave him clothes. He was a stranger and they welcomed him. He was sick. He was in prison and they visited him. They gave him their time and energy. And the righteous are confused by this. And they ask, well, when did we do those things? The righteous didn't even know they were righteous. They were just quietly doing the things Jesus told them to do. Advent is a season of hope. So let's approach Advent like we approach the communion table, as broken people in need of our Savior, in need of the forgiveness his death bought us, and in need of the redemption he has for us. Amen. Father, thank you for this day and this Advent season. Thank you for the hope you give us. We know your promises are always good. Spirit, will you help us celebrate Advent? Will you give us scripture to read and songs to sing and prayers to pray? Thank you. Jesus, we are sorry for the times that we ignore the good things you taught us and command us to do. Please forgive us and help us to serve you better. Thank you for coming to earth and showing us the best way to live. We want to live like you. Because of the gifts of faith and hope, we celebrate your second coming and the redemption you will bring. And we love you, God, and we trust you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.